Hey there. Hi, everybody. My name is Betty, and I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and I'm experiencing victory over bulimia and the effects of food addiction. Tonight, we are talking about Lesson 12. Lesson 12 is confess. Let's take a look at the principle. It's principle 4 and step 5. Let's read it together. Openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. And the verse? Happy are the pure in heart, Matthew 5:8. And this goes along with step 5. Let's read it together. We admit to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. And that scripture is, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. James 5:16. Well, probably many of you sitting out in front of me tonight will not remember the name Jessica McClure. However, I remember her name well. On October 14th, 1987, Jessica was playing in the backyard of her Aunt Jamie's daycare center, which was run out of her home, in the Texas oil town of Midland. Jessica was only 18 months old, and her mother, Sissy, was watching her and four other preschoolers playing. When the phone rang, and Sissy went into the house to answer, even though she was only gone for a moment. When she came back outside, she heard the other children screaming and their frantic cries that little Jessica had fallen through a pipe into a dry well that was only 8 inches across. Hard to imagine. The police arrived within about 3 minutes, but it soon became clear that Jessica was stuck 22 feet under the surface in ground that was harder than granite. It was obvious that this would not be an easy job. Let's take a look at what the scene began to look. Oh, you got it. Great. Okay. The rescue story played out live on CNN. For the next 58 hours, people all over the world stopped what they were doing while 400 people took part in the effort to save her life. Her little cries could be heard below ground coming up through that open pipe. The rescuers early on were faced with the decision that the rescue was going to have to be conducted in two phases. Phase one was simply to get somebody down there next to her as soon as possible. And phase two was to actually do the extraction from the well. Phase one was driven by the knowledge that people tend to do and think strange things when they are trapped alone in a dark, scary place for long periods of time. They get disoriented, and their fears get blown out of proportion. Their minds begin to play tricks on them, and sometimes they start doing self-destructive things. Sometimes they just give up. Well, the good news is that after keeping her engaged and keeping her singing songs like Winnie the Pooh, little Jessica was successfully rescued. And she did not remember her ordeal, even though, as you can see, she lost her little toe and she had 15 surgeries to correct the damage that was done in those 3 days to her little body. There she is being released. And today you can see she's all grown up and has two little children of her own. It was such an amazing story, they made a TV movie out of it. And you're probably thinking, wow, that's a really great story, Betty. But what does that have to do with step five? Well, in a moment, we're going to start filling out that acronym. And you'll fill out the blanks and you'll begin to understand why. When people like us get serious about recovery and about spiritual growth, and we go on this 12-step journey and adventure, then we take that first step and we admit that we have problems that make our lives unmanageable. When we turn to God and say, I need help with those problems, then we might feel as though we're free-falling. And in a sense, we are. We're out of control, in a way. We can no longer live the way that we're so used to living. The old ways just don't work anymore. And to complicate matters on the way down, you find out that the problem that you admitted way back in step one is really being driven by a whole collection of character defects, which have been growing 5 feet under the surface of your life. And you have to identify those defects. You have to inventory them, as we've talked about for the last 2 months. You have to list them, admit them, and own them. You need to take responsibility for your pride, anger, envy, greed, gluttony, and sloth, the big seven. So during the last couple of months, if you were working on step four, honestly and thoroughly, you might be feeling as though you are trapped at the bottom of a deep, dark well. And if you stay there long enough, you can become disoriented and wonder why you decided to do this recovery journey to begin with. You might feel like you'd like to bail out at this point. You might start saying things like, I am a totally messed up person. No one's collections of sins are as bad as mine. And if anyone ever found out the truth about me, they would never want to have anything more to do with me for the rest of their lives. Some of you get to the point where you just say, well, why don't I bail out of this program? I could just go back to projecting an image of adequacy to everybody, and then I wouldn't have to deal with all this unsettling truth about myself. It's at this critical point in the process that we need to get another human being to come right alongside of us in that well just as soon as possible. And in a way, the fifth step says that you can only grow for so long on your own. And then you get to that point where continued growth and healing are going to require some assistance from somebody else. We are right at that critical point tonight. We're at the point where we are being asked to come clean by telling another human being the truth about who we really are. But how? Now, to the acronym. You can reach to your little paper in front of you, and the C of confess is confess your shortcomings, resentments, and sins. God wants us to come clean and admit that wrong is wrong, that we're guilty as charged. We need to own up to those sins as we discovered in our inventory. For the person who confesses, shame is over, and realities have begun. Proverbs 28:13 says that he who conceals his sin does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Confession is necessary for fellowship. Our sins have built up a barrier between us and God. And I don't know about you, but whenever new unconfessed sin comes into my life, I feel as though my prayers don't get any farther than maybe 3 feet over my head. Why? Because I've put a barrier between myself and God. The O in confess stands for obey God's direction. Confession means that we agree with God regarding our sins. Confession restores our fellowship. Principle 4 sums it up in how we obey God's direction in confessing our sins. First, we confessed or admitted our faults to ourselves, to God, and then to someone that we trust. Romans 14:11-12 says, as surely as I am the living God, says the Lord, everyone will kneel before me and everyone will confess that I am God. Every one of us then will have to make an account of himself to God. Scary. Then we do what we're instructed to do, as we read earlier in James 5:16. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. If you want to be healed, you have to do this step. The next letter is the N. No more guilt. This principle can restore our confidence, our relationships, and allow us to move on from this rear view mirror way of living that has kept us looking back and second guessing ourselves and others. In Romans 8:1, we're assured that there is no condemnation now for those who live in union with Christ Jesus. The verdict is in. All have sinned. And yet, God declares us not guilty if we trust in Jesus Christ, who freely takes away our sins. Romans 3:23-24. So that's the C-O-N of confess. The con is over. We have followed God's direction on how to confess our wrongs. And after we fess up, we have four positive changes that come into our lives. The first one is the F in confess. Face the truth. It's been said that man occasionally stumbles over truth, but most of the time he will pick himself up and continue on. Recovery doesn't work that way. Recovery requires honesty. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Have you ever noticed that a person who always speaks the truth is at ease? They don't have to second guess what or remember something they've said before that might not have been true. The next positive change that we experience is E, ease the pain. We're only as sick as our secrets. When we share our deepest secrets, we begin to divide the pain and the shame. A healthy self-worth develops that is no longer based on the world's standard, but rather on the truth of Jesus Christ. Now, the next thing I'm going to say, I'm going to repeat because I think it's so important that I needed to hear it twice, so maybe you will too. Pain is inevitable for all of us. Misery is optional. I'll say it again. Pain is inevitable for all of us, but misery is optional. In Psalm 32, verses 3 through 5, it says, "There was a time I wouldn't admit what a sinner I was, but my dishonesty made me miserable and filled my days with frustration. My strength evaporated like water on a sunny day until I finally admitted all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide them. I said to myself, 'I will confess to the Lord,' and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone." David was the author of that statement, who committed adultery and murder. The first S in confess reminds us to stop the blame. It has been said that people who can smile when something goes wrong probably just thought of somebody they could blame it on. But the truth is, we cannot find peace and serenity if we continue to blame either ourselves or others. Our secrets have isolated us from each other long enough. They have prevented intimacy in all of our relationships. I remember when I was being trained to help with the ministry called Divine Threads that we have here on our property in Rolling Hills. We were reading a book entitled Mending the Soul. And as I was sharing in a discussion time with the other leaders, the tears started to fall and I couldn't make them stop. I was embarrassed. I thought I looked like an absolute ninny to everybody else because they weren't crying like I was. But what I finally realized is that the issues being dealt with in that textbook were the very issues that I was struggling with. And no more could I be a help to any of those other women in the Divine Threads ministry until I turned and started dealing with my own. I even had to go to Carolyn Liu, the director of Wholeness Ministries, and tell her that I didn't think I should be working in the marriage ministry right now either. This was becoming a really big thing to me. Jesus tells us in Matthew 7:3, "Why do you look for a speck of sawdust in your brother's eye when your eye has a plank in it? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me get that speck out of your eye,' when there is this plank in your own? Take the plank out of your eye, and then you can clearly see enough to remove your brother's speck of dust." I was that person with a gigantic plank. Finally, the last S shows us that it's time to start accepting God's forgiveness. Maybe one of the hardest things you have to do. Once we accept God's forgiveness, we're able to look others in the eye. We see ourselves and our actions in a new light. We're ready to find humility to exchange our shortcomings in Principle 5. In 2 Corinthians 5:19, it says, "For God was in Christ, restoring the world to himself, no longer counting men's sins against them, but blotting them out." I don't know about you, but I can't think of anything I'd rather have happen than to have the Lord blot out my sins. In fact, when I come to the Lord and I remember my sins from in the past, he says, "My child, what sins?" He doesn't remember them anymore. If you have come tonight a little fearful about having to do exactly that, to find someone to share your inventory, I hope that you will leave being encouraged. I hope that you will trust that you've been able to see the benefits of the task that's coming before you. Next time in our teaching, we're going to talk about how you go about finding that person who will come alongside you and will help to listen to your inventory. And let's bow our heads now at this time and let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for what your word teaches us about confession. We thank you that each one of us, though we stand before you as sinners and only in your precious grace, that we no longer have to be miserable. We can release all those secrets that are keeping us isolated from others. And we can become new creatures as you have planned for us all along. Lord, we give our small group times to you, and we just ask that you would help us to really be able to take the masks off and be real with each other. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.